The only thing I know that could encore that is God's word. And our scripture text will be taken this morning from the fourth chapter of John, beginning with verse 27, reading to verse 42. Be reading from today's English version. At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went back to the town, and said to the people there, "Come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he be the Messiah?" So they left the town and went to Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples were begging Jesus, "Teacher, have something to eat." But he answered, "I have food to eat which you know nothing about." So the disciples started asking among themselves, "Could somebody have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said to them, "is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work that he gave me to do. You have a saying, 4 more months until the harvest. But I tell you, take a good look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest, and they're paid and gathered the crops for eternal life. So the man who plants and the man who reaps will be glad together. For the saying is true, one man plants, the other man reaps. I have sent you to reap a harvest in a field where you did not work. Others work there, and you profit from their work." Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay there with them, and he stayed 2 days. Many more believed because of his message, and they were told the woman, "We believe now because of what you have said." Not because of what you have said, but because we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world. May God bless to our understanding the reading and the hearing of his holy word.
Let us bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in this quiet moment, Father, dear Jesus, we just thank you for your sweet presence. We thank you for the message of the song, and Father, we pray that you would fill us up. Father, we thank you for the message of the word, and we pray, Father, that we would be as the woman and we would go running and telling people that all we have seen Jesus. And dear Jesus, we thank you, Father, that you have chosen to send us. Father, we pray, Lord, that we as ministers would reach out to those around us, Father, that we would hear their cry, that we would, Father, comfort their hurts, and that we would say, "We love you because Jesus loves you." And dear Jesus, we would ask, Father, that you would just help us. Help us to be more loving. Help us to be more caring. And dear Jesus, we just ask that you would help us to be forgiving people as you forgave us. Help us to remember where we've been and where we've come from. Help us to remember the pitfalls of our lives and the struggles and the burdens that have led us to where we are. And help us to remember, Jesus, that because of your love, your understanding, and your caring that we are here. Father, help us to reach out to this dying world and say, Jesus loves you. He can save you if you will only hear his word and listen. Thank you, Jesus, for this school that you have brought us to. Thank you for the struggles, Father, that we have gone through to get here. We have grown from them, Father, and my prayer today, Lord, is that you would help us to continue to grow, dear Jesus. Father, help us to have our cups filled. Help us, Father, that we will want more and more and more. Help us never to reach the place, dear Lord, where we'll feel that we have it all. But help us to continue to strive and to walk and to be more intimate with you. Because, Jesus, you are our Savior. You are the reason that we are here. And, Father, we do want to serve you, and we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being called to this service. In your name we pray these things. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Good this summer is kind of a time of new experiences for me. I've taught college before, but never taught a seminary class before. I've preached in the county jail before. I've preached in the state penitentiary before, but I've never preached in a seminary chapel before. And I would probably be more comfortable going to the city jail and having a service, because I have spoken to preachers before, and they are the most difficult people in the world to preach to, because they are all preachers themselves. So this morning I thought I'd talk with you a little bit about what's happened to us and what we're called to do. And use as a background for this the familiar incident that we've had read to us from the life of Jesus. If you travel from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, there are two ways to go. One way is to go down and go up the Dead Sea Valley to Galilee. The other way is to take the road up through Samaria. That's the road that Jesus and his disciples had taken that day. As you travel, you will come to the little village of Sychar. You've all seen the area on television because the village of Neapolis is close by. It was on television last night because of the rioting and other things that happened in that village. I had the privilege of riding a bus through there one time at 70 miles an hour because they were afraid they were going to throw rocks at us. But this incident occurred not far from Neapolis. If you go there, there'll be gobs of tourists trying to go down into the little blue buildings to the 10-foot level below the ground where the well actually is. They all go there because of the conversation Jesus had with this sinful woman. Think about her for a moment. Here she was, the most isolated woman in the whole town. Lonely as she could be, cut off from everyone, forced to come to draw water at the sixth hour in the heat of the day, because the other women had so rejected her, they wouldn't even let her come and draw water with them early in the morning. Usually we will work with most anyone. It is really bad when you've gotten to the place that you've been so rejected that folks even won't work with you. But this is where she was. Think of how lonely she was. Five times in her life, men had professed their love for her. Five times, with joy in her heart, she'd gone and got the village rabbi. Five times, the men had said, "We'll cherish her. We'll love her." Five times, the angry words had come, and five times, those men had rejected her and walked out. After the fifth time, she felt so badly, the next time a man said that he loved her, she didn't even bother to go get the rabbi. She just said, "Come on, we'll see if we can make it." And they surely gossiped as she shacked up with the sixth man. So she comes to that well that day, no doubt with her eyes down toward the ground and with that look that all the rejected sinners of society always get. She probably didn't even notice the man sitting there. But he turns to her and says, "Lady, lady, would you give me a drink of water?" That must have startled her. She must have thought, "What should I say back? A strange man asking for a drink of water? Oh, I know men. If I give him a drink of water, the next thing he'll want to do is take me off to bed somewhere. I better be careful." And she says, "Sir, how is it you, a Jew, want to share a drink of water with me, a Samaritan?" Jesus smiles and says, "Lady, your life is like this stagnant old well. But if you would ask me for a drink, I would take your life and turn it into a bubbling spring, like Elisha's spring down at Jericho. I would take your life and it would just bubble over and over, and you would never have to drink again. She smiled and said, "Sir, you surely must be joking. Jacob dug this well for us, and he taught us how to live, and we've tried to follow his tradition. You must be pulling my leg." He says, "No, lady, really. If you'd but asked, I'll transform your life. I'll take your life and turn it into something you can be proud of. I'll take your life and turn it into something that just bubbles over and over." And she said, "Sir, do it. Sir, do it." And he smiled and said, "Go get your husband so I can tell him too." And then, like a bolt of lightning, it struck her. This man doesn't know who I am. If he knows that I've been married and divorced 5 times and am now shacked up with a man, he won't make my life bubble over and over. And she looked down and thought, "I won't tell him. I'll lie." And she said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "That's right. You've had 5. That's okay. I'm still going to do it." And like another bolt of lightning, it strikes her, "My goodness, this man knows me. He loves me. Maybe God loves me." And she says, "Where could a person like me go and worship God? Some say worship at Samaria. Well, you know good and well the women weren't going to let her in church if they wouldn't even draw water with her. So she couldn't go to church with the people that wouldn't even draw water with her." And she said, "Some say you go down to Jerusalem to worship. They weren't going to let her in there. They had a sign on that church that said, any Gentile that goes beyond this point will be responsible for his death, which shall immediately follow." He says, "That's okay. That's okay. The time will come, and now is, when sinners like you can worship God in truth and in spirit." And she says, "I've heard that'll happen when the Messiah comes, sir." And he says, "Lady, I am the Messiah." And she runs back into the village and she says, "I met a man today who told me everything I have ever done. And he still loved me." Now, I want to ask you a very, very personal question. That is, have you been to the well? Oh, I don't mean that well that has the 2 blue buildings over it. I've been there several times. But have you been to the well where you met the man who told you everything you've ever done and still love you? I've been to the well. There are times that stick in my memory when I know I was at that well. One of the first times that sticks in my memory, when I was a barefooted teenager wearing bibbed overalls with a good corn silk pipe stucked away in the woodshed where my parents wouldn't find it, in a pocket full of dried rabbit tobacco to chew on when I got out behind the house. Somehow in those woods it came through, God loves 4 little country boys. And if a poor country boy would somehow place his faith in that same God, God might take him and make something out of him. It's wonderful when you first discover that you're accepted, that you're loved, in spite of all your faults. There have been other times in these years that that's happened. I remember one day when I was driving to this very seminary doing a D-Man degree, coming down I-85 from the city of Richmond. Oh, I felt pretty big. 36 years old, the youngest pastor to ever receive a DD degree from the University of Richmond, the whole history of the place. Church going great, even making A's in the D-Men program. And as I was driving along, I was reflecting on how wonderful it was to be successful and be important. Just out of the blue, it hit me as I drove along. You're acting like the elder son in the prodigal story. God is not impressed with your little scratchings in the sands of time. God loves you because of who you are. And I felt like stopping the car and dancing the jig right on the side of 85, but I was afraid they'd lock me up for being crazy. And when that happens to you, it's just like the smell of a spring rain in the mountains of North Carolina. Or like the crisp breeze on a frosty morning on the Chesapeake Bay. Have you been to the well? Have you had that experience, and are you still having that experience where you know Jesus loves you? If you have, then you're likely to meet this Samaritan woman. I've met her several times. I met her one day when a man called and asked me to come see him. And I went to his rather large farm. He was a rich man. Chickens were in his yard. We sat on his porch and we talked, and he said, "You know, I've traded and cattle all over the country, and some folks say I've stolen people from people. I shot a man one time. And here I am, 70 years old, and I'm ready to die." He said, "But you know, preacher, when I die, I don't have as much chance as that chicken pecking out in my yard. Can you tell me anything, preacher?" I met the Samaritan woman another day. When a beautiful 35-year-old woman, and I mean she was a mocker, sat in my office and said, "Pastor, I love our church, and you know I never miss a Sunday. But said, you know, I'm in a couples class, and you don't know this, but before I came here, my husband of 12 years left for a younger woman. And all the women in that Sunday school class think I'm there to steal their husband. I don't want anything to do with a man right now, let alone steal one of their husbands." I said, "I'll talk with them." She said, "No, that won't work." I said, "Well, how about teaching a Sunday school class?" She said, "They wouldn't let a divorcee like me teach, would they?" I said, "Sure, teach the fifth grade." She said, "The parents will criticize." I said, "That's all right, I'm a parent. My fifth grader's in there." I met her another day as I got ready to leave the home of one of our most distinguished ladies. Her husband had been a research scientist that has affected every person in this room. He had done more to work to create grains to solve the problem of world hunger than any man that's ever lived. But he died. And as I left, she cried and she took my hand and she said, "Preacher, tonight is ladies' night at the Rotary Club." She said, you know, the first time they had it after Charlie died, they came and got me and took me. But they haven't done it since. And every time the Rotary meets, I keep expecting Charlie to come home. And I remember he's dead. It's strange how church people treat you, even after you've worked so long, and then you lose your husband. She was the woman at the well. I met her another time when a young preacher came, driven over 100 miles to tell of his hurts. And the biggest hurt he had was a Baptist church was starving him to death. And he cried, and his wife cried, and he said, you know, I believe we could starve, and there's not a person in that church would give a damn. If you've been to the well, and if you open up your eyes and you go out in the world, you're liable to run into this Samaritan woman almost anywhere, because her tribe is increasing all over the world. We've all been to the well. Our task is to go out. To say we have been to the well, and we met a man there who told us everything that we had ever done and still loved us. And when we meet this Samaritan woman, we say, I found a friend. I'd like to introduce you to that friend. Would you stand with me now and sing our benediction, hymn number 165.